What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. And we got to clarify some stuff, Brian. How do you do?
Yes. What's up, brother?
Congratulations on becoming an NFL coach.
Man, you know what? I just ignore stupidity. Listen, everything that was done yesterday was said, and people like to just go where they want to go. And you know what I do with it? Let's talk about our next topic.
I think people are just excited. People love seeing you out there. I thought it was really, really cool. I was really, really happy for you. I'm also really, really happy the team knows to embrace you and the knowledge you can offer and to understand the true value of special teams and hard work, and not everybody has to be a first rounder and all those things. And I think you embody a lot of that.
Oh, I try.
And I thought it was very cool. But the amount of people I got asking me, so B-Mitch is a coach now?
Nope.
And they're like, is he off the radio? I was like, nah, man.
B
likes golf too much.
It was just the person that was asked to do something, and I've always offered, and I'll do it over and over again if I'm asked. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
I had all ears last night, and I got home, and it was like 9:30. And you know what I did, B? I don't do this very often.
What's that?
I went to bed. You know what I usually do?
Try to stay up?
No, I sit down in my chair. I fire up all three TVs. I watch. Last night would have been a good night because I could have watched hoops. I could have watched hockey. And I could have put Nats late night baseball on. And I usually pour a couple things. And I said, no, I'm going to go to bed. Damn it. And I was in bed by like 9:45. And
I didn't go to sleep that early. But I did go early.
I read a little bit. I wanted to sleep right away.
That game was garbage. I'm going to sleep.
That was the other thing. So my wife encourages me. I'm a bit of a night owl. Like, I can stay up. But she thinks it's better for my health if every once in a while I just go to sleep and don't stay up all night. B is locked into sumo wrestling on the TV.
The one guy was supposed to be 5'11".
You just looked at me crazy.
No, the guy for me, one guy, they said 5'11", 325. And the other one was 5'10", 3'10".
That dude on the right is way over.
They don't look like the same size as me.
Nah. The dude on the right
looks. The dude on the right, like, he's about 6'3".
Yeah, and six bills.
Yeah, yeah.
We gotta do something about these sumo wrestling outfits. Like, we got to get.
Hey, bro.
That guy needs more clothing on his backside.
They've been wearing that forever. They're not changing.
You get to see a lot of that, fella.
That's a lot of thong right there, boy.
That's why Cisco started writing the song. So I did check the score though before I went to bed. Like, if it was a good game, I'm probably gonna sit up and watch it.
I watched it till I just said I'm done. But it was garbage.
Ass kicking.
Yeah, yeah. And they were demoralized.
Yeah.
Cause, like, let's be real, they quit. The young guys came and started jacking up, but the starting five, those dudes quit. In their eyes, there was no fight.
Do you know what the Timberwolves scored in the first quarter? 9 points.
Yeah, it was awful, man.
It was 26-9 at the end of the first.
See, this is what, well, yesterday when I took the Timberwolves.
They ended up losing by 30, but they only scored 9 in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was awful. I took the Timberwolves yesterday, and I will, what we do, I don't know, heard it here first, because I think athletes have heart and fight. I saw none of that yesterday in the Timberwolves. I saw quit. I saw, okay, listen, their whole game plan is get the ball and try to dribble, 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 dribble. And they turn the ball over all day.
Especially against a defensive team like that.
Man, their coach, he's not good because they have no scheme. He doesn't draw up anything. You watch the Thunder, man, they come down, pass, 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 open shot. You know, they always – got hands in passing lanes, and they're hampering you. They play real defense. But Minnesota? Nah, bro. I'll just say this. I always said how Anthony Edwards was his dog. He plays both sides. Dude didn't play either side yesterday. He played no D, and his offense was horrible.
Finished with 19 points in 38 minutes. Minnesota as a team, 12 of 34 from three. It was turnovers.
It was awful.
They had 21 turnovers. They got dominated in the paint. They lost on the boards. It was – that's the kind of game that lets you go to sleep early, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, Brian, if these odds exist, because I guess we still don't know who OKC is going to play. I sure think the Pacers are going to close the Knicks out tonight, honestly. Maybe the Knicks show up in the Garden, but I think the Pacers are getting through. I bet the Thunder are significant favorites against either team.
Yeah.
Last I saw, they were minus 650.
Damn! In the finals?
Dude, listen to me. They are playing.
To win the finals, yeah.
And this is the thing about it. When Shea went to the bench, the lead extended. That dude was Jalen, what's his last name?
They have a Williams, right?
Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
Bad. That dude could play some ball. You know, they have multiple people that play, but everybody is constantly
Chet
putting,
can play.
Yeah, bruh, Chet's a different dude. He's skinny, but you know what? He got some game.
The
but
length they have.
They play together. And I said after that first game, discipline. They're very disciplined. And if you play against them and you don't stay true to your fundamentals and everything you're supposed to be doing, they're going to run you out the gym.
Here's a note about the Thunder roster. You ready for this, B? Mm-hmm. They have three dudes named Williams on their roster.
Mm-hmm. Minus 750 now.
Two of them are named Jalen Williams. They have two dudes named Jalen Williams. They have Jalen Williams, the starter that you were talking about, had 19 points last night. His name is spelled J-A-L-E-N. Then they have another dude who I don't believe he played 5 minutes last night, named Jalen Williams, spelled J-A-Y-L-I-N.
Yeah.
How the hell what do you think coach says? Just calls them 6 and 8?
Jay.
Yo, numbers are kind of similar.
No. Have you watched the Jalen, J-A-L-E-N?
Yeah.
You watch him play, coach are not going to mistake the other guy for him. Yeah. Believe me. There's no damn way. That dude can ball, dog.
And then there's Kenrich Williams.
They got some Williams on there.
They do.
I remember one time in my high school, the starting four were Williams.
Have you
Four of the starting five were Williams, and the other one was, Oliver. Four was off of my street, all cousins.
That's crazy. Have you ever been on a team? You've got to be on a team with other Mitchells, right?
Yeah, Freddie.
Oh, in Philly, right.
Yeah.
I bet there was one Alpha Mitchell.
Lester.
But
nobody ever mistaken them for me.
What I think a lot of people don't know is that most people in the NFL just called you Mitch. There wasn't a lot of B Mitch. I feel like
a lot of them call me B Mitch.
But I feel like a lot of coaches, players refer to you as Mitch. Is that accurate or no? Was it split?
Most people call me B Mitch.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while you get some of the older dudes, they just say Mitch.
What did people call Freddie? Alligator arms?
B-Mitch, is that your cousin? Nope.
Now the hockey was good last night. I don't know how many people are still locked in. The Panthers won that game, and it was tied late. I know it was tied 3-3, I think, in the third, and then the Panthers, I think they got a late empty netter, but the Florida Panthers, man, is...
They're wagging right now.
Dude, they're in their third straight Stanley Cup final.
That would be defined as a wagon.
Now, 2 years ago they lost. Last year they won. I assume Edmonton-Dallas is tonight. So the Oilers have a chance to...
One of those is going to their second or whatever, isn't it?
What's that?
Championship. I think it would be Dallas, right?
No, it'd be Edmonton.
Edmonton, okay.
Edmonton, if you remember, Edmonton and it was the Oilers Panthers last year in the Stanley Cup Finals. Florida got up 3-0. Then Edmonton won three in a row, went to a game seven. It was a pretty cool game. Remember, we went with AD and watched it in Bethesda.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm here for an Oilers Panthers rematch. I will definitely watch that. McDavid is just electric. If that game's on tonight, I will watch some of that. And I wanted to make sure we mention this. The Nats last night kicked the Mariners' ass. Now, these games are coming on late because they're playing in Seattle.
Kind of hard to stay up that long.
9-0 Nats.
Mm-hmm.
James Wood hit another one.
Yard.
And the kid they just called up, Hassel, hit one last night. So, you know, for all the concern about the farm system, I don't know, they just called this kid up. And there's saying he's a good player, and he went yard last night. I think I don't know what's up with the Nats. They're 5 games under .500. I think if you're putting them in the same category as the Colorado Rockies, you're doing us all a disservice.
Nah, that's wrong. That's wrong. They're not that. They're not like that. Rockies are horrible.
Right. They've won. I believe they're still at 9 wins on the season, and they've played 50 games. The Rockets are 9-47. They've almost played 60 games. So let's non-believers, you can check the stats. They're 9-47.
9-47. Not that good.
No. Last year, I think the White Sox set a new record for badness, for lack of a better word, in Major League Baseball. And I think the Rockies are on pace to shatter it. So good luck with all that. Nats are on again tonight late. I think it's a West Coast roadie. So they have Seattle again tonight. Then they're in Phoenix the next three. Then they go to Chicago. I mean, they're on the road. Oh, no, they're back home. Those will be fun series. Next week, you get the Cubs coming to town. That's usually a raucous bunch. The Cubs are good too, so I imagine there'll be some sellouts in those games. That's kind of your roundup, unless Jeff has like darts to let us know about. I do know that my man Jeff, we are going to open the phones for Bleep You at 1 o'clock, and it's going to be thorough. Or did we have to move that? We're doing Bleep You at noon. Okay. Bleep You will be at noon.
6 years in a row, Florida Stanley Cup Finals run through them.
Six
years in a row. You had the Tampa Bay Lightning 3 years.
Oh, the Florida state Panthers. Of Florida. I thought you meant the Panthers.
I'm just saying state of Florida. And think about that. When you think about, when you first think of hockey, do you ever think Florida?
Well, dude, there's a few different things. You ever go down to Florida in the winter? Packed with Canadian people. Because they want to get the hell out of Canada.
Well, I know one thing. I went to Barbados. I was sitting up here, and they always talk. I thought I was at a golf tournament, and all the people there were former football players, a football player, all hockey guys that go from Barbados to Canada.
Right. So I think as long as you get the right coaches and situations, Florida also has no state income tax. Listen, I understand the appeal of playing for your home country or whatever, but you're telling me I could play in Winnipeg or Tampa?
No, you're telling me I could be – when I'm at work, I'm in a gym and it's cold. When I leave out of it, I don't have to deal with cold. I can go out to a beach. I think I'll go down south.
For sure?
Yeah.
All right. We were in Ashburn yesterday. The weather was god-awful, but we had a lot of fun. Today, we are 98 days until kickoff. Jeff, something wrong?
I'm cursing all of them out. Silently.
Are you just refusing to get in the stream?
I get into it. I mean, we got so much stuff going on. Hell, we'll get there.
He'll get there when he gets there, White Brian. Damn it. Why did Jeff have to come over to White Brian's microphone?
Jeff really think he's like Debo or somebody. I will bust his little ass.
White Brian, you can't just tell B. Mitch what to do? You need Jeff to stand up for you?
No, I was telling B. Mitch to talk into the mic. Oh, I didn't think White Brian
believe me
to say that.
This microphone catches it on all sides.
Why did you have to walk over right to there. White Brian's mic to do it?
Because obviously, JP, my mic doesn't have to talk back.
Okay. We're getting to the bottom of things here. We are on the stream. Currently, it's me. There he is. Bang. See? Ask and you shall receive.
Hey, man, when my face is showing, I get paid more money. I'm just letting the people know that's over the stream.
Bleep You, we're going to let my man Jeff lead off. So, Jeff, we're going to hold off on it, but Jeff had a hell of a day. And anybody that's ever dealt with...
Oh, we got 2 days to discuss Jeff.
The DMV, the MVA, whatever it is.
We got to go with the golf course, too.
Oh, yeah, we do need to discuss
that's why he didn't come yesterday. He thought he was trying to make... He had no damn DMV. He was trying to avoid...
Trust me. No, that is not the reason. That will never be the reason.
I don't remember the number. Over under 130.
Over.
Oh God.
He had 131.
Uh-oh. I was about to say by a point.
By a stroke.
Yeah. Hold on. But this is the light at the end of the tunnel. The first nine, I shot 66. We redid that nine again. And I shot 65. That's progress. There is light at the end of the tunnel. It's a very long tunnel. But it's there.
Yeah, that tunnel about 800 miles long.
That's tough, Jeff.
Hey, you know what? I would just have to one day, I'm going to just keep every stroke.
That's what I'm wondering because I have a feeling the cup's not in the hole.
I like Jeff. Jeff is the true, like when you go, let's say you go to Vegas and you lose like 10,000, but you win the last hand, that's all you're going to remember.
Right.
Hey, man. You have a quick memory.
So, Jeff, can I hit my putter a long way?
Yeah. that was crazy.
I hit your putter about 190 yards, dog.
With no tee. That was insane.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about that, but that's cool.
It's easy. Just got to hit it dead center.
We're going to get into plenty. We got Craig Lachlan joining us in just a minute. We want to talk about Locker has a really cool golf tournament coming up and obviously everything going on with the hockey. We'll have time to get into it later, B, but how much did you enjoy yesterday? Just being
fine.
Out there.
It was fine. It was cool. You know, it's just like, yeah, anytime somebody show you a level of respect and you get a chance and you're talking to the guys that are receptive to what you're talking about, it was cool. And then I think even better, you know, Austin been around a long time. Because, like, one thing I was trying to let the guys understand, you know, people get so caught up in where you're drafted. And I told him, I say, Austin didn't come into this league with a lot of hoopla, but he became a superstar. But still have the wherewithal to say, I will return kicks and punts. Remember last year he was returning the kickoff 100 yards, you know, although it was called back. But still, he was out there getting it done. And I talked to the guys about putting the work in. Don't expect it. You know, if you're not going to work for it. So if you want to get it, you got to get it. And also say, man, I agree with everything you said, bro. They need to hear stuff like that. You know, so it was cool to just have that communication and that connection.
I think it shows that this team is not dedicated to only trying to develop the first rounders. It's a legitimate 70-man roster now, and everybody that's there has a chance. Just got this tweet from C-Dub. He said, man, seeing B-Mitch on the field helping the team gave me a lump in my throat. It was another example of how this regime definitely gets it. I think that's well said. Here's what I'd like to do. Craig Lachlan joins the show next. We're going to talk to John Keim. At 11, we're going to open the phone lines at noon. We have a ton of audio to react to yesterday from Ashburn. And Peter Rosenberg going to join us at 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's B. Mitch here. Summer is here, and I'm kicking it off the right way. As an avid cyclist, I want you to join my team for Bike to the Beach on June 20th. We're riding to support autism and disability inclusion. And trust me, this ride is a blast. It all ends with a beachside festival at the Beach House Hotel in Dewey Beach, which is just a block away from the ocean, right in the heart of the action. So let's ride together and make a difference and kick off the summer in style. You can join my team, Riding 30. That's RIDIN_30 at biketothebeach.org. That's biketothebeach.org. Join today.
Hey, Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan, fired up to get on the Rude Guest Hotline and talk to our man, the Locker, Craig Lachlan. Locker, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. Getting ready, watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's been an exciting time, other than the Caps are out.
Yeah, they're out. But have you been impressed with the Panthers?
Yeah, dude, Florida's a wagon.
Yeah, Florida can really go. And Florida, the GM brought in some good pieces, you know, bringing in Marchand and guys like that, I think really pushed them over the top. They're very solid all around, and their goaltender is world-class, and Bobrovsky. They're going to be a tough out for whoever comes out of the West.
For sure. I almost don't want to think like this, but I'm curious. Obviously, the Caps kind of got... You know, kind of got run over by the Hurricanes. And then the Hurricanes kind of get run over by the Panthers. Is it too much extrapolation to wonder how far away the Caps are from, like, another cup run based on those results? Or is it a little more fluky different?
I think it's different. I think the Caps, as we all know, this season had an outstanding season. I think they... You know, during the course of the season, they won some big games. They went through some big stretches with everybody playing at the highest level. The Caps at the time this season had 7 or 8 guys that had career years, and that's hard to manufacture in any sport. And in the playoffs, to me, they were simply shut down by Carolina's speed and forecheck. They couldn't get out of their zone, so then you're not producing, you're not generating offense, you're spending too much time in your own zone, and your legs get fatigued, your mind gets fatigued. It's hard to play defense. You love to play offense in every sport as a player, and to me, they just ran out of gas. And the Hurricanes are a heck of a hockey team, but it also shows you some of their shortcomings watching what Florida did to them. I didn't think Carolina had enough grit and grime to their game to match with the Kachucks and the type of defense that Paul Maurice plays. They're a go-go team too, but they're also a team that has a tremendous amount of sandpaper in their game. Every stoppage of play, there's a face wash, there's a hit to the head, there's a push, there's a shove, they run into the goaltender, all the things that maybe had the Caps done some of that to Carolina, that might have slowed them down a little bit, and they just didn't have it in their tank after a long, grueling season that a lot of people, when you look at it, if you would have said at the start of the season the Caps would have been first in the East, I would be surprised if one out of 10 people would have told you that. So to me, the Caps had a great season, and they get through the first round, but they can't match Carolina's forecheck. That was the difference. Carolina is ferocious, but Florida, guys, is even tougher because of the crap they do after the whistle and in the corners and running into you. There's way more contact in Florida's game than what Carolina showed in the playoffs.
Can we get to the point and play that type of game?
I think we can. I think you're going to see some changes this season. I think you're going to see some forwards be moved out of town and some new forwards brought in. Again, the mandate here in Washington is to get younger, to get faster, and now you get somebody with some more grit coming in and things like that. I think that's going to play into the hands of the Caps. I don't think the Caps are out of the so-called Stanley Cup window, especially the way Ovi played. But again, guys, he's 40 years old. Can he duplicate what he did this year? That's another guy that had a career year. Can they put together 8 or 10 guys that have career seasons to push them over the top and get into the playoffs, number one? And number two, go long in the playoffs? To me, that's still up in the air. But I'm sure that, you know, Chris Patrick and company are working on ideas to make this team even better after seeing some of their shortcomings against Carolina.
Well, and I was really impressed last year by kind of, you know, they're in a tricky spot because they were trying to rebuild and give Ovi a chance at the record at the same time. And maybe rebuild's too strong of a term, but like, you know what I mean? They were trying to, they kind of had like competing agendas that they were able to merge, which was really hard to do. And I think some of these young dudes, Protas, Chychrun, like a lot of these dudes that'll only continue to get better, I think gives them a real chance at keeping the window alive with Ovi, you know? Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think, you know, there's never now, remember, guys, you can't say rebuild in Washington anymore. We're not in that mode. We want to continue to have a chance to win. And the mandate is let's spend to the cap. Let's get the best players. Let's put the best product on the ice and let's go for it. And that's what they did this past summer. It was amazing what they did in about a week in June to put this team into a playoff position, number one, to push them into the second round, number two, and to push them into this situation where they have a lot of good young players. Their stable is very good. So now they've got to make decisions on who they bring back. Are they going to bring back Beauvillier? Are they going to bring back Mangiapane? Are they going to bring back X, Y, and Z? To me, that's the $10 million question. How are they going to work through those type of things? Plus, they have some guys coming up on contract next year, like a Connor McMichael. He still, you know, he had a bridge deal, so now he's going to probably want big dollars after the season he had last year. So you've also got to work the cap. But the guys they brought in and signed long-term, like a Chychrun, like a Protas that still signed long-term because he jumped on the opportunity for a five-year deal, they probably got him at a steal after you saw that he was a 30-goal guy. Can they replicate that? That's my question. Can they get the same type of stellar goaltending? It's going to be a tough season next year. Everyone's going to have them marked down as one of the top teams in the league now. And how do you get over the hump next year just to get into the playoffs in a very parity-driven league like we have now in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, you are speaking the truth.
And yes,
it also is difficult just because of the way the playoff scenarios are driven up that it looks like Caps would have to face Carolina again if they are to advance. We're talking with our friend Craig Lachlan here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give the Locker a follow at Lachlan 18, L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N 18. Locker, I also wanted to ask you, I think you'll be biking to the beach that day, B, but I believe I'll be broadcasting from your golf tournament. I know it's coming up in a few weeks, June 20th at Norbeck Country Club. Just tell folks kind of what you get a lot of Caps guys, a lot of people together for a really good cause, and what you hope to get done that day.
Yeah, it's one of two tournaments that we have for our foundation and rare cancers, and Norbeck has been a fantastic partner with us. When they came to me a couple of years ago with Al Koken's support, it was amazing to have another group of people to extend our golf tournament that we have in Crofton here in September to Norbeck. Norbeck is a fantastic course. We've never done it on a Friday, so it's a kickoff to a wonderful weekend. You get to work in the morning. It's a 1 o'clock start. We have pickleball. We'll have auctions. We have a lot of people coming. To me, it's a great course to get out and play, and we're so thrilled to be partnering with them once again to try to raise money for our cause. And to me, it's just great. I'm going to be able to get out there. I hope. I haven't golfed yet with my heart surgery that I had, the open heart surgery that I had, but they said I'm okay to golf now. So everybody on the other tees, look out for me because my balls may be coming that way. But we're gonna have a blast. And I'm hoping you guys, I'm glad you're broadcasting for that tournament. We'd love to have you broadcast at our tournament on September 9th. I know it's in the middle of the NFL season, but man, we'd love to have you out here too.
I'd love to, Locker, but those Septembers get a lot trickier than the May and Junes.
I don't think we know if we're coming or going when September comes.
Yeah. Well, hell, September 9th, I mean, they play in
September 8th.
I'll be riding the bike your direction, Locker. You live that way going towards Annapolis, right?
Yes, right in it.
I'm going to be riding
from Annapolis.
I'm riding the bicycle from D.C. to Dewey Beach that day.
Wow.
July 20th. I mean, June 20th.
I know I see all your Instagram stuff. You are quite the cycler, man. I do the Peloton. I don't move from my basement. But I love the fact that you're doing that. Tell me when you're around here. I'll get out my car and see if I can find you.
Yeah, give me a ride. Okay, a couple miles.
Locker, I will not be riding a bike to the beach. I'll be hanging out at your tournament.
I know that's going to be great.
I did want to ask you on a personal level, obviously, you know, the last, I guess, 6 months-ish or so have been challenging for you. How are you feeling now? And what have you kind of learned about
you
yourself? Over this period where you've had some health struggles?
Well, it was a surprise, right? And Thanksgiving, right around Thanksgiving when they said, hey, you need total heart surgery. It's like my doctor told me, he says, your heart now is ironclad. And I was like, okay, that sounds good to me. But I mean, the things I had to go through, I was so surprised when you go in for a scan. I was healthy. And I'm just telling that to all the listeners out there.
Make sure
you get looked at, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Make sure you get checked out. I had a scan. So now it's my aorta, it's my valve, it's my bypass that I needed, all these things. But it was getting through all that, and I knew there would be road bumps along the way, right? I had a problem with my lung, so I had to recover from that. I wasn't breathing very good with my left lung after surgery. It's just one of the things that can happen during surgery with a collapsed lung, so I had to battle through that. Then I get through that, and I'm battling again. I was just actually, and thanks for asking, I was just in the hospital last week because they said I had a blood disorder and a blood infection. And I'm like, how is this happening to me? So I had to battle through that, and I'm still battling through that. And to be perfectly honest, I had to have a PICC line put in last week It's in my left bicep, and I have to have antibiotics every morning that my wife administers for me. She's the best nurse in the world, and she administers that every day, and I have to do that for a six-week span, so I can't really do a lot of the things I like to do. But I told them, when I went in, I said, listen to me. I'm a big tennis guy. I want to golf. Put that darn thing in my left arm. So they put it in my left arm, so I'm allowed to play tennis. I'm allowed to work
out. Your priorities, huh?
Yeah, priorities. I'm allowed to work out. I get on the Peloton every day. I still have heart rehab for another 3 to 4 weeks, which is three times a week, where they push you aerobically and cardiovascularly at a clinic in Annapolis. So I still have to do all that. But it just makes you look at life in a little different perspective, that you've got to take advantage of every day you're given and sure. make sure you fulfill it. And that's what I'm doing. I'm enjoying battling through this. I'm going to get through this pick line thing. It comes out July 1st. That's my next date. It's just like when I came back from heart surgery. My date was to come back for the Caps on that Sunday against Buffalo, and I made that date. And then my other date was to return for Ovechkin, score an 895, which I was able to do. So I've hit my sort of plan. And B. Mitch knows this well, that as an athlete, you go in and you set goals for yourself after you're injured, and you do whatever it takes to reach those goals. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of in that mode now, that I want this pick line out. I want to get back to my total life, taking cold plunges and saunas and all the things that I can't do now with my pick line, having a few more IPAs than I do right now, and having some fun. And I'm not saying that, JP, you weren't an athlete, but I was just
talking about Mitch and I.
That's
all.
I get it.
He played guard and tackle. Locker, guard that water attack. Anybody got close?
not offended whatsoever. We're just happy you're on the right side of this thing
exactly.
and moving forward. And, you know, B and I say this all the time, both the radio coverage here on The Fan with John Walton and the television coverage with you and Joe B and Smoke and Alan and Alexa, we are very lucky. And I think people sleep on the level of hockey fan Brian and I are
mm-hmm.
because we watch all of it and love the sport, and we're very lucky to have the coverage we get of the Caps.
There you go.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Really appreciate that.
All right, Locker, we will see you in a couple weeks. Maybe B will ride his bike by. We'll find out.
Okay. All the best, fellas. Have a great weekend. All right, man. Bye.
Craig Lachlan joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give him a follow at Lachlan18. Really happy his health. What is most important is on the come up. Speaking of what is most important, if it's not your health, it's your home. And you got to take care of your home. You got to maintain that thing. And the best way to do it is working with our guy Paul Henry and Paul Henry's Window Installation. Listen, it's about to get really hot. Camera said it's going to be in the 90s next week, which seems hard to believe because it's been like 50 and rainy for a month.
I don't need it to be like that on June 20th.
I bet it will be just for you.
Oh, please don't.
But dude, if you haven't redone your windows, you're nuts. Because one, your house is going to feel so much better. The cold air stays in. But your utility bills are going to drop because you get way less cold air leaking out them old cracky windows. You need to call Paul Henry's Window Installation. B and I have both worked with him, and he's done tremendous work at both of our homes. If you call this month, you get $125 off each window with a 5-window minimum and $600 off doors at Paul Henry's Window Installation.
Paul's done my windows, he's done my doors, but he does other stuff as well. He does roofs, and right now he's fixing my pergola. And one thing about it, I'm going to tell you, he's a fair guy. Because I had this pergola and some of the wood had messed up, but all of those poles are fiberglass. The fiberglass poles are still good, and they said that they could use those, which, you know what? Most people come in and say, "Now we got to take those poles down." Paul said we can still use them, which brings the price down. And I think that's why I really like working with him. He's a fair guy, not trying to just come in and take it for whatever you have. So give Paul a call right now, and you'll get $125 off each window with a 5-window minimum and $600 off doors. Contact Paul Henry's Window Installation today and tell him B. Mitch and Finley sent you. PaulHenry'sWindows.com. You're clear home improvement choice.
Nope.
B just came up with a new strategy for the tush push.
Get you about 5 of these damn sumo wrestlers at 350. No, we get the 400, 500-pound dudes,
and just line them up and say, just attack.
I want to talk.
Then they'll start talking about injuries.
Right, for real. A lot I want to talk about from yesterday. And OTAs, it was a really good vibe. And
it was.
I think Dan Quinn has really built a real camaraderie, and that stuff really matters. But I did, this just came across my radar, dude. The NCAA is trying to expand the basketball tournament, which is already now at, what, 68?
They're tripping.
Dude, the guy just, the chairman of the NCAA, whatever his title is, just said his goal is to get it to 76 by next year.
Well, listen, man, I'll be honest with you. Everything is about the amount of things happening, not just necessarily the quality. It's the amount. You know, people, listen, all these young kids that are watching all these podcasts, most of these podcasts are horrible. But they watch them. And they're entertained by it. So if you can put basketball on when people want to see basketball, you make extra money. Because look at these other tournaments that pop up where the bad teams are playing in them and people still tune in.
What was the new joint that Fox launched in Vegas? Remember that thing?
I forgot the name of that one.
But it was a thing. And yeah. I think with gambling, man, you got more eyes.
That's the whole thing.
People like White Brian will throw 20 cents on it and feel like they got some juice.
Hey, it's about getting people, getting eyes on it. And if you can do that, You got your something good there, brother.
They've already kind of messed with the NCAA tournament enough, going from 64 to 68. And I'm sure there's people listening that remember when it was 16 and then 32.
Yeah.
The NFL
got bigger.
And dude, the thing they
college football got bigger. What makes you think basketball not gonna push it farther?
You know how many teams are in MLS?
How many?
I'm asking, do you know?
No.
I'm not sure I know. I think it's 30.
30?
I think there's 30 teams in MLS. That seems like a lot to me.
I mean, but 30 teams in a whole league is okay. You know, I don't think, I don't think you got 32 in the NFL. You got 30 in the NBA.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot more interest in those things.
There are a lot of pockets in the United States of America that love soccer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at like Premier League ratings, like the English teams and then Champions League, which is
they're not Premier.
Like, I think there's far more interest in just watching the England teams MLS, in the mornings watching MLS.
But they're not Premier. But like MLS, we know what it is. You know when the stars from the Premier League come to the United States,
they're washed.
When they're done with the with the leagues over there, and then they still get love here.
Some of my anger or bitterness with the MLS might be directly tied to DC United, which is just an absolute mess and has been now for a long time. The bottom of the Eastern standings, I just pulled this up. So Philly, I believe it's the Union, right? They have 33 points. They played 16 games. They've won 10 of them. B.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just let you guess the cities that are in the top five besides Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference.
Why are you going to let me guess?
Because I would never guess these teams existed.
New York?
No, they are seventh.
Okay. Seattle?
What, Eastern Conference?
Eastern. Boston?
No, New England is 10th.
So you got Philly. That's Bon Jovi is involved with that team, I think. Raleigh?
No. There's a Charlotte team.
Charlotte?
They are 9th.
Okay. Well, you just tell me now because I don't know.
Cincinnati.
Okay.
Cincinnati has an MLS team. Then Nashville. Then Columbus. Then Orlando. It's a lot of MLS teams, B. Right. But DC United's embarrassing. They were once an awesome franchise. Please get back to it. I don't know what you're doing wrong, but you're obviously doing it wrong. Whereas the Spirit run an awesome operation. I'm guessing they have different ownership. I don't know, but that's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
But we pointed out the Rockies earlier, who are awful, 9-47.
Yes.
You want to know the Montreal MLS team's record?
Maybe not.
Yo.
If you think the way that you're leading this is like they're worse than what the Rockies are.
Dude, they've played 16 games and won one. They're 1-10-5.
Not that good.
No.
Not that good.
They have 8 points in 16 games. When we come back, John Keim was out in Ashburn with us at OTAs. We're going to do a full hour of OTA talk. John Keim, then you're going to hear from Jaden Daniels. You're going to hear from Dan Quinn. Nobody go anywhere.